brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where we don't worry about all the crazy things going on in the world, because yes, there's a lot of nuts going on in the world right now, lots of craziness, but the reason that we don't worry is because Jesus told us not to worry. You know, he said, look, take no thought for the morrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know, you've got to not get worried and perplexed about all the things that you see going on around you. Because if you let that consume your mind and your thought life, you won't have any space for that which God has actually instructed you to keep your mind on. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, and the like. He says, think on these things. You know, how often have you thought on those things? You know, how often have you put your mind on the things of God rather than on the agendas of the world and all that's taking place? You know what? Here's something too. You got to realize this. Okay, we live today, in this day and age, we live in a far more interconnected society than we ever did before. When I was a kid, I used to, I've had the benefit of living in lots of different countries. But when I was a kid, I spent some time growing up in Sri Lanka and had family in the States. And, you know, when I would send a letter, I would mail a letter from here to a friend in the States. It would take, the quickest it ever would happen is it would take 2 weeks for a letter to go from here, airmail, here to the U.S. And then if they sat down, got the letter, wrote a reply, and airmailed it back that next day, it would take another 2 weeks for it to get back to me, whatever the reply was. So in the end, for me to get a mail, it took 1 month. So in the course of a year, you know, if you're just going back and forth and back and forth, you could maybe have 12 exchanges with somebody in the course of a year. Now, I was a really bad letter writer back in the day. I was not nearly as good as some people were. So it took, you could write back and forth. Now, this is not that long of a time ago. If you want to make a phone call, you would save up for it because it was really expensive. I mean, in the time, it was several dollars a minute because I had to bounce off a satellite. It sounded like somebody was in a tin can on the other side. And, you could only talk for maybe 2 minutes. Like the entire phone call would be like, if it was a family calling, the entire phone call would maybe be like, 10 minutes total. And you'd get maybe like a minute or two max to say hi to the other person on the other line. And you waited for that call. And it was really expensive. Nowadays, email's virtually instant. You can write somebody and get back to you. In fact, if people don't get an email reply right away, like within a few hours sometimes when they're working from somebody else, they get upset and get angry. Expectations have changed. Phone calls. There was no free internet phone calling or discounted phone calling. But now, you can sit on a computer and talk to a friend in another country and watch them and have a video call. This is not that long ago. Now, here's the point I want to make. You know more about what's going on, or you have the availability of information instantaneously of what's going on around the world all the time. Now, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, You know, one reason that you'll hear more of those things is because it's more available to you now than ever before. You know, the chance of you knowing what's going on in some remote part of the world is much stronger now than ever before. I mean, just look, even this right now, that what we're doing, the very fact that by this day and age and the design of the times that we now live in, that, you know, I would be able to speak in audio while I'm driving a truck, you know, on a tropical island on the other side of the world, or, you know, maybe close to you, or on the same country if you're listening in Sri Lanka, that I would be able to drive a truck around and give you a word that God would speak, you know, and that he would be working through, and that this could reach you where you're at. 3 months from now, sometimes people listen to these. After they've been put up, they listen to them months and months and months later. But the Word of God is alive and present, and it ministers. So you got to understand, it's a different time. And because it's a different time, you have to relate to it in the right way. You know, one thing is, I'm going to give you some practical advice right now. One thing is, you need to learn to set boundaries and limits and self-manage yourself. You need to learn that. You've got to learn how to do that. Where to set the cutoff points. Look, do you know, in relationship theory, that is, I'll take you through some academic stuff. Typically what they say when it comes to like friendships and relationships is that somebody has, I can't remember if the exact number, but it's around 7 people that you can have 7 really good, really close friends in your life. Because, and because for a person to be a good close friend in your life, it requires a certain amount of time, it requires a certain amount of interpersonal communication, it requires a certain amount of you being available for them, it requires time, effort, energy. And so what they say is that, and with that number, with that 7, if you try to have more than that, so say you have 9 close friends, well, what ends up happening is the time that you would probably put into friend number 6 and 7, if it was just 7, to number 8 and 9, you'd split it. So those last couple of friends, they'll be good friends, but they won't be the quality of the relationship because you don't have the time and the energy and the effort to put into those people. So, you know, for you to have quality relationships in your life, you know, that, because again, 24 hours in a day has not changed. You only have so much time that you can put into whatever it is. And so for you to have those type of relationships, you know, it's an investment. It's an investment of yourself. You know, Jesus had 12. You know, I mean, he had the masses and the crowds and everybody was following him. But in the end, he picked the 12. And with the 12, you know, he invested in their lives. Even within the 12, there was the 3. You know, Peter, James, and John. Those guys had, you know, Jesus took them a little bit further, showed them stuff that the other guys didn't necessarily get to see, took them up to the mountaintop, was transfigured in front of them. I mean, there were certain things that they got the benefit of that the other guys didn't. And even there, even within that, you had within the 3, there was John, the disciple that Jesus loved, who had a special connection. You know, I mean, the reason I say that is because even at the Last Supper, when Peter was talking, when he was trying to figure out who would betray Jesus, and he leaned over and nudged John, and he said, "Hey, John, ask him who he means." And John asked Jesus, and Jesus told him. It's the one that dips the bread in the dish with me right now. And then he gave it to Judas. He showed him. Now, Peter even knew that there was something that John could get out of Jesus that he could not. So, you know, and if you look at the cross, you also see the reciprocation of that. Everybody else had run away of the 12, but John was still around. At a distance, but John was still there. He'd come back. There was that connection that was there. Okay, so essentially, we're just talking about also life and making certain things important, making certain things priorities, allowing for certain things to be set the right way so that you can be a good disciple, that you can discipline. You know, a disciple is a disciplined person. A disciple also, you know, they've got focus. They have resolve. They know what they are about. They know what their purpose is. They know what's important to them. You know, I mean, in order to even to do this, you know, there is, in order to invest in time and energy and effort to put these things out as God would equip us, you know, that's part of, a relationship investment, you know, that I would make in the people that God would have here. You know, for what? For what reason? Well, you know, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, for the edifying of the church, for the strengthening of the body of Christ, for the building up of each other, one body. You know, I mean, we do this because God compels us to do it. Our lives are not our own. But we also enjoy it. There's peace, there's joy, there's fulfillment in this. Now, you've got to, in this day and age, you've got to set the parameters for your life. You need to. Because, you know what? Nobody will teach you this. Because the way the world goes, the world just wants more and more and more and more and more. And it doesn't stop. The world will not stop. It just will consume and take and eat and devour until there's nothing left and it consumes itself. You have to be the one to set the limits for your life. At the same time, you are limitless creation. What I'm talking about is the parameters that then allow you to then go after the vision that God has put for you. See, in order to keep from certain things being diffused all the time, you have to then also know what to cut off. You know, just as Jesus talked about, you know, with the vine and the branches, you know, the Father cuts off the branches that don't bear any fruit, but the ones that do, He prunes to make them more fruitful. And also, you know, with any time that somebody does that, what they do is they cut away the dead wood, that which would just drain and suck you dry. And that gets cut off. So what? So that the life that's now in you can be put into that which is worthwhile. That which is according to God's plan and purpose for you. Do you understand? So in order to do that, sometimes what you have to do is let some stuff go. And God will quicken you for that, to let certain things go. I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. You know, I mean, even in this last window of time for myself, you know, God, you know, helped me. He quickly showed me some things. He said, all right, these are some stuff that's got to go. And as it's been going, gosh, freedom, peace, and tremendous increase in energy. So that that energy now can be put into something that is worthwhile. Do you know, when you are in a bad situation with the world, and when you are in a compromised position with the world, it drains you, it bleeds you dry. You know, the world works to set that up. It works to get you in that position, so that you can be bled. You know, there's not a desire to see you strong, standing on your own two feet, filled with the power of God and walking in His will and plan and purpose. The world doesn't want that for you. No, the world wants you, if you're not going to die on cue, if you can't be wiped out right away, the world wants to turn you into a battery. It wants to cripple you, degrade you, demoralize you, tell you that you're worth less than you really are, get you to believe that lie, and then just to strip you down into nothing. And then to soak and to drain the life off of you. Because you know why? Because they have no life in themselves. Worlders have no life in themselves. They have no creativity in themselves. They can't do anything in themselves. The only reason that they get anywhere at all is by draining it off of you. By draining it off of the people of light and truth. That's how the worlders advance. They advance based on their ability to destroy others. They don't advance based on their ability to, they're not advancing based on their walks with God, who is the source of all creation, who is the source of life, who is the source of truth, of all wisdom. No, they don't advance because of that. No, they got to make a deal. They got to make a buck. You know, they're pathetic. In the grand scheme of things, according to that which is important, you know, the worlders are eternal trash. God will redeem them if they would bow their knee and humble themselves before the living God and submit themselves unto His Lordship, surrender unto Him. But if they won't, forget it. They choose their own hell. They choose to live in hell right now, and then after this life is over, they choose to go there. So, rather than that, realize that if you are a child of God, you're destined to something else. If you are a child of God, you're destined to live a different way. You're destined to walk a different way. You know, it is a heart condition. It's a spiritual position. You know, right now, the world is continuing to piece by piece just fall apart at one seam at a time, one stitch at a time, just comes unraveled. It's because, you know, each time that something happens, they realize how frail they really are and how little control they actually have. You know, worlders are, worlders are in a prison. They're in a pyramid prison. And the more that they feign this image of being free, but they're not free. They're not free at all. They have zero freedom. They're so bound to so many sets of expectations, obligations. They've got to pay the piper. They've got to scratch other people's backs. They've got to do all kinds of stuff. They're not free. Children of God are free. Children of the living God are free. You, as a child of God, are free. You can walk in that freedom. You can live in that freedom. You can enjoy that freedom. You've been made for that. You know, even right now with all that's going on in the world, if you'd set the right parameters for your life, you could actually have a really, really amazing time right now. You know, so, for example, when it comes to things like the news, well, all right, you know, put a filter on. Put a filter on your eyes when you go through that. See it through the eyes of Christ. And, you know, you don't got to spend your whole day on there. Just go get aware, understand things, see them from a higher perspective, and move on. Carry on. Go outside. Take in a sunset. Watch the sunrise. Praise God. Go for a walk in the park. Call a friend. Take them out. Cook them some food. Go help somebody. Go do something nice for someone. Instead of just worrying about the world falling apart, go do something nice for somebody else. You know, I mean, right now, the world cannot fix any of its problems. And all that you're going to see is them getting increasingly freaked out that they cannot fix any of their problems. Now, you as a child of God know the source to all solutions. You as a child of God actually know where they should go to fix their problems. But they're not listening. And they don't want the answer that you have. So, why are you going to jump in there with their psychosis? If they don't want the answer, shake the dust from your feet and move on. Because there are those that actually do want the answer. There are those that actually do want the truth. There are those that actually would go with what it is that God is saying to you. So speak to them. Share the truth with them. You know, look, if somebody doesn't want the truth that God has put in you, just move on. Don't waste your time. It's not worth it. You know, some things are not going to change. Some things have been set. Their course has been set. Their direction has been set. Their choice has been set. Their life pattern has been set. And some of that stuff is just going to be what it is. You got to not worry about that. It's not your place to worry about it. Yours is to carry the message. Yours is to obey the voice of your Heavenly Father. Yours is to look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, and not to worry about the rest of this stuff. You don't have to. You know, there's a lot of stuff you don't have to worry about. It's not yours to even have to worry about. You don't have to do anything there. Be aware, sure. Take it before God in prayer, sure. And if there is something to do, God will show you. And if not, then why are you worrying about that which has no bearing on the life that God's called you to live in the first place? Why would you worry about, an earthquake that happens on Mars? All right, say there's that we have the ability to read about it, and our scientists have figured out now with all these space explorations, and we can track Mars, and there's an earthquake on Mars. Are you worried about it? Why? Why are you not worried about an earthquake on Mars? Well, one thing is there's nothing you can really do about it. Two, it's, you know, if there was, what would you do? It's good to be aware. If there is something you can do, sure, do it. Look, listen, there's a lot of things going on in this world right now. There is. And there are some things that you can do to help those that are in need. Now, here's the key. Always look for solutions. People of God, listen to me. You are solutions people. God gives you solutions. That means that you need to be about solutions when you talk to people. When you look at something, look for the solution. God will give it to you. You don't have to just look at the problem all the time, because that's the way the world works. The world has no solutions, but God does. So when He gives you solutions to the problems that the world is facing, that's the time that you should bring that out. Say it, speak it. But if they don't have a heart for solutions, then forget about it. You know, forget about those that just want to wallow in a problem. You know, there's a lot of people that they don't really want to be set free because they like the attention they get from being the source of a problem. You know, I know some people that are they're very dear people, but they also have a tendency to be self-destructive. And I've seen it before, and it's really a sad thing, because, you know, every opportunity in life is there for them. But they choose, when they have the chance, to look for the easiest option to destroy their lives. And they do it often. And it's a shame, because there's no need to. You know, you have every chance to live an incredible life while you're here. You don't have to destroy it. You don't have to strip it. You don't have to take away from it. You can walk it out. And God will give you wisdom. God will show you what to do in the situations you're in. You don't have to destroy your own house. You don't have to tear it down with your own hands. You know, God is giving opportunity and chance of reaching out to His people and saying, look, there's a different way to live. You know, that's part of the gospel being good news. Is that the good news that you were saved. You were saved from all of this stupidness. You can actually walk with God for real. You know, the day, the hour, the time that we now live in, it's an incredible, incredible, incredible time. And the requirement for this day and age is to flow with God, to be flexible. You know, I mean, if we weren't flowing with God, we wouldn't be doing it like this right now. You know, we would follow a traditional format and do what it is that everybody else says we should do. No, this is the way that God has for us to do this. So we're doing it like this. And hey, it reaches some of you, blesses some of you. We appreciate the mails that come in, because we know that God is doing a work. And for us, we're just grateful to be part of it. But you got to be flexible with what it is that God's doing. Because if you try to put new wine into old wineskins, everything explodes. It blows up. You know, this is a new time. It's a new generation. It's a new window. It's a new opportunity. But in order for you to be about what God's doing in this day and age, you've also got to move with Him. This also means giving up preconceived wrong impressions and wrong ideas of who you think God is and what you think it is to follow Him. What you think that so many things are, that you got to give up that which is wrong thinking. You need to have right thinking. Because you know what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know, you got to have right thinking. Part of right thinking is seeing yourself through God's eyes and understanding that what He says for who you are is who you are. You know, I know what God has told me about my life and who it is that I am, and I take incredible confidence in that. Why? Because what God would say about my life and who I am, that would actually be the thing that matters, because you know what? He's the only one that approves my life when this whole thing's done anyways. So, hey, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the way that God would look at me and what He would say that I am and what He would say that I'm about. I'm good with that. You know, I mean, you got to understand what's true and what's real. And once you know what's true and real, the lie doesn't have any power. You know, the lie only has power as long as people believe it. When people don't believe a lie, it has no power. I mean, you know, at this time, in this age, the call right now is to rise up into what it is that God has called you to do and who He's called you to be. You need to first be someone, then you can do something. You hear me? You got to first be someone, then you can do something. You need to first be who it is that He made you to be. The things that everybody wants to do, look, but these steps are not very far apart. They can happen instantaneously. You can do both. Just right now, the second that you realize to be who it is that God made you to be, then right after that, you go do what He asked for you to do. You don't have to drag this stuff out for years and years and years. Get on with it. Today is the day of salvation. You know, in Jesus' time, something that was really cool about the people during that time, hey, they just got on with it. Whatever he said went. His plan and purpose was cool. And look, if he wanted this, if he wanted that, fine. Lord Jesus, we're with you. Where would you have us to go? What would you have us to do? Anything, Lord. So all we want to do is follow you. All we want to do is hear the word that God has intended for us. And when you have a hunger for righteousness and truth like that, God will meet you. You know, when somebody is overly full and stuffed and in a wrong set of mind, look, they're not even hearing. You know, but there's a lot of people that are calling out for him right now. And you are God's eyes. You are God's people, the ones that are out there that are seeing and interceding before the Father for that which you see. And God will bless you because you have made yourself, you put yourself in a situation, you know, to be affected by this stuff. God will bless you, strengthen you, he lifts you up. Now is a time of the lifting up of the people of God. It is an incredible, incredible time to be alive. And, you know, don't worry about all the other stuff that's swirling in the world. None of it matters that much in the grand scheme of things. You know, yes, we don't like certain things that the enemy does, but at the same time, too, we keep our perspective. We understand things from an eternal perspective, from a larger standpoint, from a place of being redeemed by the Father, already being set free because of Christ Jesus. You know, you are powerful in the truth of the reality of who he is and who you are in him. You are a royal priesthood. So you are royalty in Christ Jesus. So live up to it. Live up to it. Live up to what it is that God has called you to be, what he's made you to be, what he bought and paid for you so that you could be. You know, God loves you. And we love you too. So with that, hey, God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Appreciate you guys. Also, you can always drop us a note on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix on Facebook. You'll find us. And hey, we appreciate you guys out there. Keep on keeping on. And don't worry about anything. You know, we said it before, say it again, because you got to realize this. God is in control. God is in control. With that, hey, talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.